Why doesn't that demigod take the mosquitoes away from here? Huh? They say that place still doesn't have any mosquitoes. Hare Krishna. Today is the disappearance day of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Namo Gaur Kishoraya Satchit Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Vasambode Padambu Jayate Namaha. The Gaur Kishore Das Babaji is the Diksha Guru for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He is also a Shiksha disciple of Srila Bhakti Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He was a very reputed Babaji already in Vrindavan, highly respected by everyone. But he thought he was not pure enough to stay in Vrindavan, so he went to Navadvip. Also, he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, obviously. So he was living in Navadvip, and he would come every day to listen to Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, even though he was a Babaji. But he was a real Babaji, and there's so many stories about him. Gradually he was going blind because he hardly ate anything. Sometimes he would just eat some Ganga mud when he got hungry, just to satisfy the hunger. And he just chant all the time. And even Bhakti Vinod Thakur was trying to get him to go to Calcutta to the doctor. And he didn't want to go. And he said, "Don't worry, my son will go with you. He'll take care of you." He said, "I will never go to the material world, Calcutta. I stay in the spiritual world of Navadvip." He said, "Even one grain of dust in Navadvip is worth more than so many chintamani touchstones." So he was very perceptive, and he would condemn all the other Babajis, you know, for being just imitation Babajis and really keeping women. And people would come to him and ask for blessings. And sometimes rich people would come, and but he would be very harsh with them. Somebody wanted him to come in their house, and he said, "If I can sit in the, you know, the storeroom part," and they tried to fix it up really nice. He would chant in the stool fields in places where nobody would bother him. Nobody else would. And sometimes when people would come, he'd say, "Well, sit down here with me then. You want my blessing?" Nobody was very much inclined. One grihastha newlywed, they came and asked for blessings. He told the husband, "You should cook very nicely. Then you should offer everything to Krishna. Then you should serve the prasadam to your wife very nicely." Very good advice for anyone that's getting married. Usually the opposite of what a man expects when he gets married, right? So he gave good advice. Very strong like that. He was aware of everything. He came one time in the dark. He came very far from, he wandered all over the place in Navadvip. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, "How did you find your way?" He said, "Some little boy showed me." You know, it was in the late night. So he had no disciples. But then, and he was renounced, Babaji. Care for that. People would try to touch his feet. He wouldn't let anyone touch his feet. He'd say, "You know, go find some place where there is some dust. There's nothing here." And he would cover his feet with a chadar. So Bhakti Vinod told his son, "Now is the time for you to get initiated, and you should get initiated by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji." So he approached him. He refused. He said, "You know, I'm just a illiterate." He was basically illiterate, but he knew all the Vedic. He could speak and he knew things, but he couldn't read. But from hearing attentively from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and probably many others, he knew all the Vedic conclusions and he knew everything. And in here he said, "You're a great scholar, how can I initiate you? Just get out of here and leave me alone." So Bhaktivinoda told him, "No, you must. It must be him." So I don't know if it was two or three times. Finally, Bhaktisiddhanta was so determined he was going to suicide if he wouldn't give him initiation, so he did. And he didn't have any beads. He just put some dust of Navadvip and gave him the name Varshapadavi Daitaya Devi Das. So Bhaktisiddhanta was initiated by him. And he had said things like, you know, when he died, they should just drag his body by a horse through the streets of Navadvip just to show the uselessness of the material body. So when he left his body, the different Babajis were all quarreling as to who would have his samadhi at their ashram, because they knew if they had his samadhi, then many, many people would come. And then Bhaktisiddhanta came, and he was a brahmachari. He came and he said that, "You can't claim the body of my Guru Maharaj. I'm his only disciple." So they were arguing, "You're just a brahmachari, we're all Babaji's." Some of them were even saying that he wanted to have his, you know, they had to drag his body. He said, "You don't understand, this is the humility of my Guru Maharaj to say something like that. You can't defame his, you can't do that." So they were foolish. So they were arguing, and even police were there. So this is a famous story, but Bhaktisiddhanta said, "All right, any of you who have never had, you know, illicit connection with a woman in the last 6 months, come forward." Then a few left. There were many. Navadvip is still... And he went down at the 1 month, 1 week, even 1 day. Finally, nobody was left. So he took the transcendental body of his spiritual master and made a samadhi. Later, he moved it again because the floods of the Ganga were, you know, taking away the village or something. We saw that a few years ago. And he moved it over there now to the where now is the Chaitanya Mutt, where he started his preaching. So the samadhi is in the back of that mutt. When we go in Avadvipa Parikrama, we always see that. So we should, he was always chanting the holy name. He told his, he had one, not servant, but one partner, wouldn't need any service. He said, "Today or tomorrow is the festival day of Sanatan Goswami, so we'll have a big feast. We'll have a big festival." And he said, "How can we have a festival? We're just Babaji's. We don't have anything. You know, we don't have any food. We don't have anything." He said, "Well, tomorrow we normally eat one meal, but we won't eat that. We'll just chant all day. And that will be the big festival." So he's trying to teach us. He was, though, said he's always praying for the mercy, benefit of all living entities. So therefore his one disciple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, became so powerful preacher to preach the mission of Lord Chaitanya all over India and establish 64 mutts and so many people initiated, traveling so much, and initiating A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and empowering him to go all over the world. So from that one disciple, we can't judge by numbers. Both can be there. Bhaktisiddhanta had many disciples. Srila Prabhupada had many disciples. Some of his disciples have more disciples. But the power of prayer, and you all just demonstrated that. This parikram, or I guess you call it yatra, right? Yatra means traveling. moving, like Jagannath Ratha Yatra. Sometimes they call it the Temple of Yatra. I think that came one time Prabhupada said something about our London Yatra. He meant we're going to London. So the devotees saw the letter and he called all the temples Yatras after that. But anyway, it's all right. But everybody was praying and dedicating and praying for the welfare of Jayapataka Swami. Of course, everything is up to Krishna, but Krishna is moved by the love of devotees and the desire of devotees also. So I just came from the hospital before I came here, and I think, well, of course, due to all these prayers, and another big factor was His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami came a few days ago. That had a big influence. And I'm waiting for Radhana Swami to come, because when I was in coma in Germany, I had, I guess, opened my eyes a few times, but I remembered later. But he woke me up. I don't know. Somehow, when I looked at him, it was different than the other devotees. They were in a lot of anxiety, and I would look at them, and then. But he was very transcendental, and I came out of it. So I'm expecting that to happen. But today, he was so responsive to everybody, and moving, looking, and trying to talk, and he recognized everybody for sure, and it was quite amazing, actually. So we're quite confident. Everything works, you know. If you say move your right arm, he moves it right away, your left arm, whatever you say. And Bhakti Charma was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there was something about Lord Nrisingadev and Lord Chaitanya dancing, and his legs started jumping. So, but your prayers, of course, were very, very powerful and heartfelt and effective. We can't leave out anything. His Holiness Romapada Swami is having a yatra or parikrama. He calls it parikrama in Mayapur with about 300-350 devotees. And they've been same thing. And all over the world, devotees, even in China, they're chanting 64 rounds and having 24-hour kirtan. I was thinking when I was in the coma, the news went out that there was no hope I was going to die, and there was nothing anyone could do about it. And they should just pray for the soul or something. And many devotees did. They started 24-hour kirtan, and probably exactly at that time I got better. And devotees told me they were very happy. They really liked doing that 24-hour kirtan. And, you know, I was thinking, well, I've been trying all these years to get people to chant, and without any effect, you know. I'll chant later, you know, or I'm having trouble, but I thought, I don't know if I want to do that again, though. But, you know, it is risky to get the infection, but Srila Jayapataka Swami did it. Bhakti Charaswami is telling you, put us in so much anxiety, and now everybody was praying and chanting so much, and now, you know, so... But prayer is essential. No matter what we do, in a case like this, there's not much else we can do. The doctors do whatever they can, and we certainly can't do anything except pray. Other times, we can do something, you know, it seems like, right? So sometimes we forget to pray. We're just busy doing it, you know, working hard, doing this, doing that, moving here. And sometimes things get done, sometimes they don't. But actually, Prabhupada says, even the simplest thing, just to lift your arm, we should be praying, Krishna, please let me lift my arm, you know. It's because we can't, like the demigods have to do it. And this body, one devotee, Hare Krishna Das, he's writing a book called Chaos or Intelligence. So it's very scientific about the demigods and the different energies of the Lord and the demoniac side and divine side, and how different living entities choose to work under different energies. It's a very nice book. And he's got a lot of science in there. And he said in the body, you know, one cell of the body, we know now, if you're a scientist, even if you're not, it's more complex than the whole city of Bombay with all the iPhones and all the, you know, televisions and all the, you know, whatever there is here, and all the people. The one cell of anyone's body is more complex than that. And in the body, there's so many trillions of cells or something, which are all replicating themselves all the time. And not only that, but they're all cooperating with you somehow or other, right? They all have their independent intelligence. Every cell has intelligence and is doing many, many, many things and, you know, communicating, you know. Science is getting some idea, you know, more and more. And that's why they're starting to realize that there might be something beyond all this, because it's too much. It's far beyond anybody's. Like at the time of Darwin, when they first had microscope, they could see the cell for the first time in it, and they thought it's just a little blob of jello or something. So they thought, now we understand everything. And they did think they understood, and they could see a little bit out in the stars, and they could see a few planets, and they thought, now we understand the solar system. And but now that they can see so much, you know, they really have to admit they can't understand anything. And if they would just, you know, accept the authority of the scripture. One of the things that, there's something like 10 things they say that science cannot explain. I can't remember all of them. One of them is the mind and body relationship, you know, which is quite simple for all of you, right? Isn't it? You know, for anybody that believes in God. And one is memory. They have no idea how memory works. But if you were to tell them that Krishna, what does Krishna say about memory? Huh? Matak smriti gyanam apohanam cha. That knowledge and memory and forgetfulness come from me, the Supersoul. The Supersoul is the one that remembers everything, but then according to our desires, we remember, you know, selectively. We have to say, you know, like the computer, gonna remember something, find it, right? In the hard disk somewhere. So it's not in the exactly in the mind or the brain or any of those things. It might be going through that, but it's, you know, it's coming from Krishna. It comes from Krishna, but no, they don't, they can't, no, it's gotta be something else. So they have to spend millions of dollars, billions. They just built the world's biggest particle accelerator, or the common man call it atom smasher, right? Sounds powerful, right? Atom smasher. It covers two countries, you know, on the border, and it, how many, 24 miles long or something? Took them 20 years to build it. It cost 1.5 billion euros or something. So they say they're going to find the smallest particle, and then they'll know where everything comes from. It's going to have an electric bill of 37 million euros every year. Great use of money, right? And people are starving, you know. So many people don't have electricity. Even in Bombay now, sometimes they don't have electricity, to speak of Vrindavan. But Maya is providing for everyone. Krishna ultimately is providing for Maya to provide for them. But they will never find Krishna. They want to find the origin, the same thing with their telescopes. They're saying, we're going to find the origin. We'll know where everything came from. We're going to find it one way or another. But if we try to tell them that Krishna says it all comes from him, right? Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the cause of all causes. He doesn't have any cause. He's the beginning, but he doesn't have any beginning. Very simple. But that doesn't, you know, somehow or other they can't make a formula to cover that. They can't put it in a box. They can't measure the smallest thing. And then on top of that, Krishna is not only the smallest, but he's also the biggest. So that's too much. You know? How can that be? If you're small, you're small, right? If you're big, you're big. Of course, can be relative. In one place, I might be bigger than in another place, right? Most people like to find a group of people where they're bigger, they're richer, or they're more good-looking, or they're more something. Some people like to hang around people that are bigger than them for protection or for prestige or something. But you can't be both, they think. But Krishna is. He's everything. And he's arranging all this cooperation. But, so it's ultimately up to him. I remember one devotee used to say, if I was a demigod, I would give the devotees money. You know? Why don't they give us the money? You know? Why are they giving it to Bill Gates or, you know, whoever it was at that time? You know, why do they give it to these people, right? Mr. Ambani, why is he getting all this money? Right? Because they worship Maya. And then the more they get, usually, and of course some devotees Krishna gives because they are advanced enough to use everything in his service. So he'll give to them. Then it's not Maya. But devotees are happy, satisfied, you know, with yajichchaya, whatever comes automatically, materially. Sometimes we misunderstand that and think, well, I'm satisfied with, I've done enough service. I'm satisfied. I'm following Bhagavad Gita, and I don't really have to work any harder or do anything more. I should be satisfied. A devotee should be peaceful, right? I've chanted enough, you know, I've done enough. You know, we've all done so many things that each one of them says if you just do it once, you'll go back to Godhead, right? You know, you go to Vrindavan, you roll in the dust, you take bath in the Ganga and Gaur Purnima, you circumambulate Tulsi, you know, take prasadam, so many things, you know, just to see the deity, what to speak of, worshiping the deity or service or, you know, distributing the Srimad Bhagavatam. But devotee, he always wants to do more. He never thinks I've done enough. He always thinks, oh, because the more we do, we'll realize how great Krishna is and how much other really great devotees are doing. Then we should want to catch up, at least try. Although we can't compete with Radharani, can never be the greatest, you know, but we can see great devotees and what they've done, and our parampara is so much great and still going on. Just to name, you know, like, well, for instance, Srila Jayapataka Swami, I was trying to think, because every time we look at the internet, it's all reports about his pulse or something, or his platelets, or his blood pressure, or, you know, it's not really very interesting. I was going to write, like, let's think a little bit about all the things he's done. Dedicated so much to Mayapur and created this whole congregational preaching ministry, which is, he has all statistics. How many of these Bhakti Vriksha groups they have now, or you call them counselor groups, you know, the same kind of thing. And actually his mother, there's one Christian that made a thing called cell groups. And when I first saw that, I thought it was like prison or something, but he was talking about the body is made up of cells. So the church is made up of cells, and they all have to work together. And each, you know, everybody has to be, you know, and the cell group is a small group where everybody can study and know each other. And so his mother, that book is very far out. It's called Knocking on Doors, Opening Hearts. You know, preaching. And his mother found that book, and then she told him, this is what you should be doing. So he took it up, and of course, it's very much similar to Bhaktivinoda's Namhatta program, same idea. And he also translated that little book, and in West Bengal, there's Namhatta groups everywhere you look. And in Orissa, and in northern India, all over Bengal and Assam. And I went with him one time, and we were going down the Ganga, and you know, every day there was at least one, maybe two or three Namhatta groups waiting. And sometimes they'd be chanting for 7 hours, like waiting for us to get there. you know, just kirtan on the banks of the Ganga, then they take us in for the whole thing. So, and so many things. Mayapur has become, you know, book distribution champions. So these, so many devotees have been, Radhanath Swami would, has, man, I came here to a Sunday feast, I don't know when it was, in the very beginning of this time, there's about 30 devotees, maximum. And this room was a dump, I mean, it was really bad. But everybody was very energetic and dedicated and, you know, each one teach one, you know, grows. So we're seeing the whole movement growing like anything, all over the world. See how many people are coming to Vrindavan for Kartik, and how Vrindavan somehow can fit them all in, even though it's such a small place. More and more devotees keep coming. I remember I met Nathji Prabhu one time there, and he was thinking about how it says about how many cows, you know, in the Krishna book or in Vrindavan. But it's not what we measure, you know, that, what is it, 84 crores or something. It's unlimited spiritual worlds. Things can, the soul, you know, like, even like a cell of a body, one body has so many, and each cell has so many whatever else is in there. Krishna is everywhere, so we cannot measure Krishna. We cannot measure anything, really, but Krishna is very kind, and he sends all these great devotees in the parampara system, and we're all part of it. It's quite bewildering to look at that parampara, even a few of them, but when you see this, you have out here with the whole way down. What am I doing here? You know, what is a person like me doing in amongst such people, right? Madhavendra Puri. I was reading that to Jayapataka Maharaj the other day about Madhavendra Puri, and I was trying to read, I was reading the Bengali for what it's worth, and because he likes Bengali, he was responding more to Bengali, actually. And it was so ecstatic, and I was actually, like, understanding it, and that it was a very psychic thing, but such a great devotee, just, you know, so important. And then, you know, Ishwara Puri, then Lord Chaitanya, and then, you know, we come down, Narottam Das Thakur. Any one of them is, you know, Shaktivesh avatars, no question, you know, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta, Gaurakishore Das Babaji. So what am I doing here? You know, how can this be? And I can claim to be their follower, and people will think I am. It's quite amazing. But that's a mercy. It's all mercy, and we have to take the mercy. Sometimes we pray for mercy, and how to get mercy is you give it. We have it already. There's nothing more to be gained. We have the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And there's nothing more than that to be gained. When Prabhupada was staying at the home of John Lennon was very favorable, and he chanted. He was actually the first, he was really into chanting, but Yoko didn't like so much. And Prabhupada said he loves Yoko more than... But he came to Prabhupada once, and he could see the devotees were there, and they were all so blissful, free from anxiety, and he was not. He was, even though he was, like he said, more popular than Jesus, that was a fact, actually. Not, he didn't say he was better than Jesus, but he said more popular. And at that time, it was, as far as popularity goes, you know, he was really popular. You can't, I don't know if any of you are that old, but it's inconceivable how popular the Beatles were. And it came all of a sudden, just bam, and everybody, everywhere. The radio was top 10 songs, or 6 Beatles songs for quite some time. But he was in anxiety. He was so much unlimited money, and, you know, and it's interesting too, like his family, they always told him, John, you know, that it's okay to play the guitar. It's a nice hobby, but you'll never make any money with the guitar. You got to get a job, right? Maybe some of us have heard that from our parents about being devotees. You know, you got, it's all right. You can do it, but come on, you know, you got to be in the world also, right? You can't just be a devotee of Krishna. You can do that in, you know, on your spare time. But anyway, he got very rich. But he told Prabhupada, you know, what is it you're giving your disciples that you're not giving me? You must be telling them something. And Prabhupada said, no, same thing, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There's nothing more. There's nothing else. That's all there is to it. Surrender to Krishna, chant the holy name. He was insisting that, no, you're hiding something from me, you know, because I don't surrender. I'm not your disciple. So he was getting a little upset. And Prabhupada after that said, we have to move, you know. He wanted to be in the city anyway, you know, so that. But there's nothing more. We have everything. We have the holy name. We have Srimad Bhagavatam, the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literature. The book incarnation of Krishna. We have unlimited access to it with the Bhaktivedanta purports. We have the deities, Gaura Nithai, with the mercy of Gaura Nithai. So there's nothing further that we can get. There's more we can take it more to heart. We can, you know, become more convinced. But there's nothing more to get. You got it already. But how do we get it more is to give it. The more we give Krishna, even in a mundane charity, the more you give charity, you'll get back. That's the law of nature. So the more we try to give Krishna, then the more we get Krishna, the closer we come to Krishna. Krishna is very near, but he's very far away as well. I was thinking last week and Prabhupada's disappearance day that, you know, sometimes I realize, well, Krishna's right there, Prabhupada's right there, or there, but I'm far away. Somehow they're really close to me, but somehow I feel far away also. Or I'm running away, but they keep chasing. Krishna keeps trying to get us back. I was reading, actually I was looking for it, I found, and there's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of one of Lord Chaitanya's servants who was at Balabhadra, the one who got captured by the Bhattaharis, Kala Krishna, by the gypsies. We have gypsies here? Yeah, we have a lot of gypsies in Europe and America. They're expert at cheating. They're really good at it. They're also very good at music, and they love to sing and dance. They like devotees. But anyway, they captured him, and they would use the women and capture men to join them and help them in their ways. So Lord Chaitanya went to get him back. He said, look, we're both sannyasis. You're renounced. You know, they don't live anywhere. They move around. And why have you taken my man? You know, and he took him back. So it says that blessed is that servant who will never leave the shelter of his Lord, of his master. And also blessed is that master who will never let his servant go and will pull him back by the hair, it says. That's how we keep the secret. Because, you know, at least for myself, I'm always trying to get away. I'm always thinking, oh, what am I, you know. But Krishna doesn't let the devotees get away. He always keeps us engaged. There's always that something, especially if we're in the association of devotees, so valuable. Because somebody's always chanting, or somebody's going to ask us to do some service, or somebody's going to ask us to offer some service. Then we have to reciprocate. It's actually a great obligation. Someone offers respect or offers you service, and you know, we have to reciprocate and do some service. But that's Krishna. He'll always pull us back. And next was, I had that on my computer, and then the next day I was thinking, you know, if I could die and Jayapataka Maharaj could live, that would be much better, because nobody'd really notice if I was gone. a few people might notice for a few minutes. And I just kind of, that was flashing through my mind, because, you know, it's like, what can we do? You know, I was trying to think, praying all the time. And then I just pushed a few verses down on the computer, and that was where Lord Chaitanya walked in on Sanatan Goswami and said, suicide is in the mode of ignorance. If you were going to go to Krishna, if suicide would get you to Krishna, then I would have done it many times. At one time in Fiji, we had one girl who was a devotee, but her parents wouldn't let her associate with devotees. And then she suicided. And we had seen her, but only once in many years, and it was very hard to get to see her. And she jumped off the bridge, and she left a note of something about going to Krishna. And that's a Hindu place, you know. So many people were thinking, oh, she's such a great devotee, you know. But the parents were saying that the Hare Krishnas had done something. So the newspaper wrote, like, really heavy. So I called them up and said, what are you doing? You can't write like this, you know. So they gave me equal time. So I said, if suicide was something that could get me to Krishna, then I would have suicided a long time ago. And they liked that very much. You know, that went over really big and settled the whole issue straight out of Lord Chaitanya's mouth. So, Krishna wants us to live, and living preach the holy name, you know. And if we want to control our mind, just think about how to spread the holy name, how we can give it to others. Just like these karmis think about how to spread their products and put up all these signboards all over the place and advertise on television and, you know, magazines. Bombay is, we need like a horse, you know, this, right? And Tokyo is just as bad, you know. Sweden is nice, there's no signboards. It's against the law. But some of the really big demons are very clever. So like McDonald's, on their own property, they put the, you know, a really high sign up so you can see it from the highway, you know. The demons are very clever to promote their thing. So devotees need to be like that to promote Krishna. Of course, anyone even sees a devotee with tilak, you know, people go Hare Krishna. A lot of people do, especially in Bombay. In other countries, not as much, but to some extent. I was in Osaka, Japan one time. Early in the morning, I was riding the bicycle, and two hippie-looking kids, Hare Krishna! I thought, what? You know, this never happened. And so I stopped, and I said, what are you doing? They said, well, he said, actually, I was almost homeless in London, and the Hare Krishnas would feed me every day. So I said, well, come to the temple. You know, it's right down the road here. Somehow now he had got his life together, but still he can't forget Krishna, you know. And in London you'll find how many people. There's one man trying to stop the free food distribution in London. Many people distribute free food. There's so many homeless people, drug addicts, and he says that, you know, they won't get motivated to work or anything if you get free food. So they, on the BBC morning radio show, which is a really, really big show, they had Parashuram Prabhu, the Food for Life, our Food for Life man, who's very, very popular amongst the homeless people. And three homeless, or former homeless, and this guy. So all the homeless said, or former homeless, said Hare Krishna saved their life. Because there's many, many people that just had a bad time and they came out of it. I met many, and they'd always buy a book. It's Hare Krishna. So this guy said, well, the Hare Krishna free food is okay. He said, because they don't only give free food. Because they help people. They try to teach them. Parashuram preaches to them. He arranges drug counselors for them. He does so many things. So he's highly respected, and he's getting all kinds of awards from the government and grants, and, you know, and he got an award for ecology or environmental awareness because they deliver all the prasadam on rickshaws. they have 10-speed rickshaw. People donate, and they put a big box on the back and fill it up. And the devotee drives to the university, and they're concentrating on the university, so the students. So that's, you know, really good preaching. But just think how to give Krishna the book, the holy name, the prasadam, something, get people to visit the temple, whatever. Your mind is completely under control. Krishna will give himself to you more and more and more. It's not very difficult. Very simple process. And always chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Probably everyone experienced in Vrindavan when we're concentrating on the welfare of others, especially another devotee, there's this special, right, reward is there. Krishna likes that. And that's a devotee, compassion. We want to represent Lord Chaitanya, Namo Mahabharanaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaurat, Tishvena Maha, the most magnanimous, because he's giving Krishna Prema, which is supposed to be impossible to achieve. Right? But look it up in the, if you have on the computer, just put in Prema Bhakti or something like that and see it. Over and over again, it's how easy it is. If you just serve Lord Chaitanya, you just daily chant the Shishastika or daily do this or that. We're all doing all these things. So we've got it. And just, you were mentioning Dhruva Maharaj, that's where we've been reading in the Bhagavatam and Chuhu. It's mainly about anger. And, you know, his brother was killed, and then he was going to take it out on all the yakshas. It's like the Middle East, you know. Well, a Jew killed my great-grandfather, so I have to kill all the Jews. And then, well, a Muslim killed my grandmother, so I have to, you know, and a Jew is worth 10 million Muslims, so I have to kill all Muslims. And they won't quit. They don't want peace. You know, nobody can help them. Once anger takes off, you know, if any of you have ever been angry, right? Anybody never been angry? Nobody will raise their hand, right? It's very hard to control, very hard to stop it. So we have to work on the lust. But so Dhruva, you know, Manu came and said, cool it. Then he preached to him, you know, and then he did. And then he went and apologized because Kuvera is the king of the Yakshas. So, and then it was explained that, you know, they all were, by their karma, they were all meant to be killed. So he's not really to blame. He was an instrument. But we don't want to think, well, I'll just get angry and go out and kill a bunch of people or something. They all deserve it anyway, but ultimately there's something to that. So, but we want to control our anger. We want to utilize it to, if we get that energy, to think, how can we preach and, you know, convert, you know, these poor conditioned souls who are being manipulated so much by the demons. And that's the way to defeat the demons. We can't fight them or anything in any way. But if we get one person free from their influence, you know, it's very painful for them. Very painful. That person is no longer under the control of all those signboards and all those advertisements, right? No. They're not drinking Cloud Nine anymore, right? The most, you see, the desires people have are so insane. It's so much in the mode of passion. Party all night. You've seen that sign? I don't know if you drive around. The Cloud Nine energy drink, which is a concentrated cigarette and coffee all in one. What? Oop. Japanese invented those. And they live on them. They just go, you know, and they have all different kinds, depending on how rich you are. And it says, party all night, work 30 hours a day. Now, who would want to do that? But that's what they think. That would be great, you know. Party all night, work, because, you know, what a passion and ignorance, because party means intoxication, right? Sex, drugs, whiskey, So passion and ignorance, and these demons know that, so they promote, they go after that thing that people are so much. So when we pull one person out from that and get them into the living in the mode of goodness and transcending, then it's very painful for those demons. And they'll try harder, and they'll open more casinos, and they'll make more pornographic movies and more nonsense, and you know, more Disneylands and more things to try to allure the conditioned souls to stay in Maya. But Lord Chaitanya's movement is all attractive, and when people see the devotees and they see how happy they are and they see the energy, see how many are here. Today and Sunday in Juhu, about 1 lakh people come there. It's just mad. It's inconceivable. They're all eating prasadam, and people are getting books, kirtan all day long, lectures. And it was, you know, the devotees, when Prabhupada wanted to make a temple there, they thought he was crazy. They said, what, you know? And when they were trying to work with the lawyers to get the land away from the demon who was trying to cheat Prabhupada, the lawyer said, you'll never get it. And even if you do, it's useless. And they signed it off. And when Prabhupada found out, what could he do? He had to come. He had to get the lawyer again. He had to tell the lawyer what to do every step of the way. And he got it back. And they miraculously built that temple. If our Sarabi, he somehow built that temple. It's a miracle that all that could happen, because inexperienced people, you know, really, and to do such a thing, especially in India, especially at that time when it was really hard to get cement, and all the cement you did get had been cut at least once with something else, and you have to check it all, and you know, it was really amazing. But Krishna wanted this, he wanted this temple, and you know, it manifested, and more temples, you have many small satellite temples, and more big temples are coming up. Because we want to be able to, people, make it easy for people to associate with devotees. You know, to hear the holy name, to get prasadam, to get a book. Now, so marathon is coming up, and so many books will be distributed, which is, you know, very much necessary. Because Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, in Prabhupada's time, the devotee said, you cannot distribute books in India. Everybody has them already. Everybody says, we have Bhagavad Gita. But now they want Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Once they read it, they know, now I understand it. Before, they might have read it. And many, they think they have Bhagavad Gita, they don't even know what it is. But when they get Prabhupada's book, then they're going to understand everything. And they're going to surrender, and then that'll be very conquering the demons. The demons are very busy, you know, trying to conquer and control everyone and get rich. And some of them don't even care to get rich. They just want to control and see people stuck in the mode of passion and ignorance. They're happy to see this. And Lord Chaitanya wants them out. He wants everybody in ecstasy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. So I don't know how much time, I don't have too much time, but any question? Comment? Yes, sir. They have a microphone back there. Huh? That's Mahaprabhu? Yeah, no problem.
Japataka Maharaj, you know.
I was thinking, well, if I could die and he could live, that would be.
Yeah, but in Vrindavan, we have Maharaj has taken 3,800 people for yatra, and we were all, you know, we have put a wonderful photograph of Japataka Maharaj, and before any program starts there, all 15 days we were there, you know. Maharaj was all the time praying and getting up-to-date report So it applies to you also, and applies to, there cannot be any exchange.
No, I know. But you know, so many things go through the mind. I've been praying like anything by myself, though. So I don't have such a following, but everybody has been praying, and it's what I said, it worked. Because the doctors had very little enthusiasm the first couple of days. Then they said, miracle, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And now they're just waiting, you know. Cause
actually, material laws, they don't apply on devotees in one sense. There are several examples.
Yeah, many examples, yes. Yeah. And it's all in Krishna's hands, yeah. And Krishna does whatever he does is for the many, many purposes, because he's a genius. So for all of us to be able to really pray so intensely and gain more faith and many, many other things, all of us to learn many things, and it's all Krishna's mercy to help this wonderful movement grow even more, not only in size but in quality, grow where we all become much closer to each other and much more, you know, concerned about every other devotee's welfare and taking care of devotees and so many things. And spreading the holy name is so important, and it is being spread all over the world by Krishna's grace. And by the grace of all of you chanting here so much, and books are going everywhere. And I'm always inviting everyone, if you're free, come to Africa, or if you find somebody that wants to donate thousands of Bhagavad Gitas, you can give them to Africa, because we need them very badly there. People are very receptive, but we don't have a bookstore warehouse there. The books have to be paid in advance. People want them, but we have to give them away, more or less. You know. Because in Africa's opposite of India, the pious people are very poor generally, but they're extremely pious. And God, they love. They really believe in God. They have nothing else to believe in, but the rich people are usually very demoniac for the most part and only concerned about themselves, and they don't have any like charitable propensities. They just build themselves big hotels to live in. And so. India, the pious people, most of the rich people are very pious and charitable. So we have to look to India nowadays to save the world. Book distribution last year in the world was three-fourths India. Three-fourths of the books distributed was in India. So you have to, now you can pray for the rest of the world. Get on fire again. Because the living entities are out there and they want the books. So thank you all very much. I have to go back to Juhu. There's some kind of a youth forum there in the afternoon. A lot of things go on there, a lot of classes, a lot of different groups all day on Sunday. And the restaurant is so full until, I don't know how late at night, it holds 700 people, you know. And it's completely packed with just people just running and eating while they're in between taking the next thing off the line, they're eating, you know. Great enthusiasm for Prasadam. And the kirtan is playing in the temple, and all around, everywhere you go, there's kirtan. And we're hoping to move Jayapataka Swami to Bhaktivedanta Hospital in a few days, Madhavananda Prabhu says. Just have to get him a little stronger for breathing. He can breathe on his own, but he has a lot of mucus, and he can't cough it up. So a little bit more strength. And then he can move there, then it'll be everybody's expecting then will be a huge leap forward because of the transcendental atmosphere there. Meanwhile, it's purified the Hinduja hospital greatly. Devotees are hanging around outside, inside, upside down, you know. Sometimes a few too many of us, but that they become very tolerant of the devotees coming in because they see the effect. And I think it's affecting other patients also. So, Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Thank you very, 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 very much for tolerating me.
Ki.
I recommend you read all those sections of the Bhagavatam that Prabhu mentioned. Yeah, that's the idea. When we hear about him, we should want to go read it and find out more. Lord Chaitanya especially liked to read about Dhruva Maharaj.